Well, welcome, gentlemen. This is the workshop on the purpose and the process, spending an extended time with God. I'm Tim Leggett, and this is Mark Hopka here, and we're leading this seminar, and our goal is to walk you through what an extended time with God is, why you might want to consider it adding as a spiritual discipline to your life, and then what might be possible motivations that to motivate you to do that. So let's start out by just defining what it is. How many of you, just a show of hands, just has anyone ever locked themselves in a room for 4 hours? Okay? Couple, three, four guys here that have done it. Was it for a purpose of prayer or other, something else? Okay. Hopefully it was for a purpose of prayer. But we'll talk on that about that in that other part in just a minute. But so I wrote down a definition here as an extended time. And by the way, we do have a handout for you. So at the end, we're going to have a little workshop exercise. Don't worry about taking notes. You'll get hopefully a great handout that you can take with you. And you guys are going to get to participate here in just a minute. An extended time with God is quite simply an extended period of time, a minimum of a half day. We used to call it a half day of prayer. And for those of you who are familiar with the Navigator 2-7 series, and the name was changed a few years back to extended time with God to be a little less intimidating. So it's basically time spent preferably in isolation, in prayer, in study of God's word, and in worship and in meditation. And I think the key thing to take away from that description is that it's time spent in isolation. We do this about 4 times a year at Watermark at Equip Disciple, and I've tried to do it a couple of times out in a field or in a lobby, in our lobby or something, and to me it never works as well. There's something really impactful about being in an austere environment with a closed door and you and your materials, and that's all. So the way we set it up at Watermark is we have just take the education rooms, the classrooms or small group rooms, and simply put a table and a chair. That's it. A table and a chair. They've got access to nearby restrooms. We go in there and you're, so to speak, locked in the room for a period of time. Just consider that if you do, to try to find a good quiet place away from distractions where you're not going to be interrupted so that you can focus solely on God. Many of you may know Lauren Sandy, and he wrote an article that's in the 2-7 material on how to spend a day in prayer. And he gave 5 reasons for considering to spending a day in prayer. First, he said, it's for extended fellowship with God. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, by whom you are called according to fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So we're called into fellowship. And Malachi 3:16 says, then those who fear the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention to them. He heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. So I want to be one of those guys that fear the Lord and esteem his name. So first reason you might consider it would be for extended fellowship with God. Secondly, for renewed perspective. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, as we look not to the things that have seen, but the things that are unseen, which are eternal. Our focus should always be on the eternal. And this is a time for putting aside the things of this world and focusing on things eternal only, and aligning yourself with that perspective. Third reason would be catching up on intercession. Intercession is just a fancy way of asking for things and praying for others. Intercession, acting as an intermediary. And how this might look, and to me is one of the more fruitful parts of this exercise, is to have an opportunity, because you're not constrained by time, to pray for folks that you might not otherwise get an opportunity to pray for on a daily basis. And a helpful tool for that is in to out or out to in. Have you all heard that method of praying? Does it mean anything to you? Okay. So let me just kind of... So the idea would be, if you were going to start small and end big, would be to start with yourself, your spouse, your kids, your immediate family, praying for each one of those. You probably do that on a daily basis. And then to extend that to your brothers and to your sisters and to your spouse's brothers and sisters and to all your nieces and nephews, which I start... That takes a while for me to just remember all their names sometimes. And I'm like, it's a challenge. But so you, because they're not in my prayer life. I'm just being honest. They're not. They're not in my prayer life. I'll say family, but to pray specifically for those people by name. And then you would extend that to maybe your community group. to your brothers that you run with, and to your church, to the elders in your church, to your street that you live on, your neighbors that you might be praying for, to your neighborhood, to your city, to your school. You know, just keep widening the circle until you, you know, finally end up with praying for the world, for maybe unlost people groups. Maybe you made a list of unlost people groups that you want to make sure that they hear the gospel. So it's just a way of going out. And that process can take a while, well over an hour, I think. And the same, and the reverse of that is just starting big and then bringing it all the way back to yourself. So it's a time to catch up on extended prayer without the constraints of time. And then as we talk about it ourselves, the next reason would be for prayerful consideration of our own lives and for personal inventory and evaluation. If you look at your life from a spiritual perspective, from a financial, from a vocational perspective, and kind of evaluating where you are and setting goals and just evaluation. And we don't do that. I mean, listen, I don't do that on a regular basis. This is a time to do that, is to have the goal for this time that you're together with your Lord. And then finally, Lauren says for adequate preparation. He says the reason that many Christians are dead to opportunities is not because they're not mentally alert, but because they are simply unprepared in heart. Preparation is made when you get alone with God. So how that works, or how to, because at first it might seem odd, but what I found is going into that time is I let the Spirit move me as to where I'm going to study. I just pray to God, show me. Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to study? What is there? And Mark will talk about that and how that might work out. And what I've found, it's one of the richest blessings of Christian walk is that he leads you into an area and you study and you become equipped in that area by having this extended time to study and focus on that. And then he rewards you, oftentimes, very quickly, with an opportunity to share that with others. I can't tell you how many times that's happened to me personally, where I'll get off on studying about something and then within a week or 2 weeks, someone will bring that up. That very thing that I, 2 weeks ago, wouldn't have been even prepared to answer. I would have just gone, duh, 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 or said, I'll have to get back to you on that. So preparation.
You're talking about seeing where he leads you. What does that look like?
I don't know that that looks like anything tangible, but...
What's going on? What takes place? How do you know when he's led you to where he wants you?
Well, that's another workshop. No, I'm just teasing. There actually is another workshop, and it's at the same time as this one, actually. I think the way I do that, it's nothing magical. It's just, I'll just ask him. I'll say, search me. Show me. Let me know where you want me to go.
And that leads to the same question. What does that look like? Search me. Show me. What do you see when you see the church?
Comes to you. Yeah, it just comes to you. It's like, and it may have been something that you've been challenged with recently in your own life. Love for others, or evangelism, or...
Consider that the Lord speaking to you.
Yeah, I would. Not an audible voice, but yeah, yes, absolutely. Yeah, do you think that happens?
I know it happens.
There you go. Me too. I'm with you, brother. Good question. Dawson Trotman, founder of the Navigators, said, "It is in our times alone with God that He gives us an inner assurance of His promises for us." It is in our time alone with God that He gives us inner assurance of His promises for us. To me, assurance is just such a reward. Another person said, the most important aspects of the disciple's life are invisible and spiritual in nature. This is so important because of the cost. It's the truest test of what we believe, who we believe, what we believe in, and ultimately, who or what we trust. So you focused yourself on something internal, and it's important to you. And when he says the cost, I think he's talking about that to do this, you have to put aside something else. You have to take your hurried life and carve out 4 hours or five to be with him. And to do that, there's a cost. You know, you're not going to get as much done that day. That's a cost, but there is a reward. So I'd ask you guys a question. It's probably an obvious answer. Do you think God wants you to spend more time with Him in prayer?
Always.
Anybody going to say no? Do you think He wants us to? Absolutely He wants us to. Then I'll ask you a second question. Why is that not enough to motivate us? That's a harder one to answer, isn't it? Anybody want to take a stab? Why, if we know it, why is that not enough to motivate us? Okay. Things of the world. Absolutely. So here, let's convict ourselves. We think about, I know when this idea was presented to me in 2010, I had no idea that anybody had ever even done anything like this. I mean, I'll just be honest with you. I never thought of praying for 4 hours or being in a room for 4 hours and meditation and worship and study of God's Word. I mean, that just seemed so foreign to me. But let's think about this. How many times have you spent 4+ hours in the last 6 months surfing the internet, talking to somebody on the phone, watching sports on TV, binge-watching Netflix, playing video games? You and the burnt orange back there? Because you're the only young guy in the room, so I'm figuring you're the only video game player. We maybe got a couple more guys over here that play video games. So the point is, if we can carve out 4+ hours of time for these earthly activities of surfing the internet, talking on the phone, watching sports on TV, binge-watching Netflix, and playing video games, why can't we find time to be alone with God? E.M. Bounds, who wrote a number of books on prayer, we have resources for you at the end there. He said, the man, God's man, is made in a closet. His life and the profoundest convictions were born in the closet. His profoundest convictions were born in his secret communion with God. The burdened and tearful agony of his spirit, his weightiest and smartest messages, were got in time alone with God. So, clearly, he's telling us that there's benefits there. We're getting messages, to your point, messages when he was alone with God. What I'd like us to do is, we're going to look at 4 heroes of the faith plus Jesus. And rather than me read the scripture, I'm going to ask you guys, I'll just walk over near you because the mic will pick you up. And we'll look at these 4 folks, and I'm going to have you read the scripture. So, let me call out the first 4 scriptures, and then 4 people hang on to those, and we'll just do those in order. So David in the Psalms is just obviously loaded with prayer. So Psalm 25:5, somebody grab that. Psalm 86:1-4, Daniel 9:3-5. Give me 18 and 19 while you're at it, right there in Daniel 9. Yes, Daniel 10. Verse 2. So we have these 4 folks we're going to talk about. David, Daniel, Nehemiah, and Paul. We're going to start with David. Psalm 25:5.
Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long.
Perfect. His hope is in him how long? All the day long. So he doesn't even get off with a half day of prayer. He has the whole day of prayer. Psalm 86:1-4.
Hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts you. You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I call to you all day long.
How long? All day long. You can see a theme here that this is not something out of the ordinary. In Daniel chapter 9, it's an extended prayer of Daniel's. I encourage you to go back, and I'll give you the references on the handout, to read the entire section. But I just picked out a couple of verses there that 3 to 5 and 18 and 19. And then we've got a follow-up in 10, because 10 you're going to see how long Daniel was praying. And then if you read the whole chapter 10 afterwards, which I encourage you to do for homework, you're going to find out what was the result of what he did in chapter 9.
So I turned my attention to the Lord God to implore him by prayer and requests with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God, confessing in this way, O Lord, great and awesome God, who is faithful to his covenant, with who those who love him and keep his commandments, we have sinned. We have done what is wrong and wicked. We have rebelled by turning away from your commandments and standards. Listen attentively, my God, and hear.
Chapter 10, he says, he gives you the answer to how long. So
In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 full weeks.
How long?
3 full weeks.
3 full weeks. Suddenly, a half day doesn't seem so bad, does it? Nehemiah 1. We're going to talk about Nehemiah and Paul. So, Nehemiah chapter 1, section 1 to 11. But let's look at just verse 6. Somebody grab verse 6. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 6. And somebody else grab 11, please.
Let your eyes be open and your ears be attentive to hear your servant's prayer that I now pray to you day and night for your servants, the Israelites. I confess the sins we have committed against you, both I and my father's house have sinned.
Day and night. Day and night. Verse 11 from Nehemiah, chapter 1, verse 11. That was 6. Yes. Yes. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. Yes. And in 2 Timothy 1:3 says, I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember constantly you in my prayers. He's praying to Thessalonica day, night, and day. Now let's look at time that Jesus spent, our ultimate example. Mark 1:35.
Prayer in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place before he prayed.
He went off to where? A solitary place. So that's that key point that I mentioned earlier, is Christ went off to a solitary place. In Matthew 6:6, it says, but when you pray, go into your room and pray to your Father in secret. Matthew 14:23.
After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone.
Great. He was there alone when evening came. How long do you think had transpired there? I'm saying at least a half day. Luke 5:16 said, but he would withdraw to desolate places to pray. We're in Wichita Falls, so there's going to be opportunity all weekend here. That was a little West Texas joke, so we're in a desolate place, in my opinion. But in Luke 6:12, it says, in these days he went out into the mountains to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. I guess my point here in looking at these men is for you to see that it wasn't unusual for them. These guys are our examples. Jesus is our example. If our job is to imitate, then who better to imitate than these men? Some of the heroes of our faith, it was said of them, when he wore the hardwood boards into grooves where his knees were pressed so often and so long. Another said he liked to go to his cottage where he could spend much time in prayer. Another says he spent the greatest part of 5 hours a day in prayer and devotion. If we looked at our days, some days I bet we have 5 hours on the internet, on TV, with sports, where we could do something else. Another said he arranged his affairs as possible so thou canst leisurely devote 2 to 3 hours every day, not merely to devotional exercises, but to the very act of secret prayer and communion with God. I think it's clear why. So now let's think about motivations. We all need motivations, right? So I came up with three. One would be his commands. I mean, he clearly commands. I think that we can infer from all of these examples that he's commanding us to spend extended time in prayer. Secondly would be his blessings. We're going to do a little study at the end about a personal relationship with Christ and some of the rewards. That's other blessings. There's commands. He's commanded us. He's promised us blessings. But I'm going to tell you what inspires me, and I think is in the heart of all Christ followers, and when we look at a discipline like this, and that's our love for Him. Our love for Him. In Philippians 3:10-11 says, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of His resurrection, Participation is suffering. It's becoming like him in death, and so somehow attaining the resurrection from the dead. And if you, the gentleman earlier that was talking about meditation, on that verse it would be, for me, I want to know Christ. Christ, tell me what that looks like. Teach me. Open this book to me and show me more of yourself. I want to know Christ. I can just see Paul in prison, you know, yelling out those words. I want to know Christ. John 17:3. Any of y'all have that memorized? Verse 3 says, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." That they may know you. Proverbs 8:17. "I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me." And I know you guys know John 14:21. I'm going to close with that, and we'll find out how to do it, how you can possibly do this. And John 14:21 says, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." It's a TMS verse on obedience. But our pastor, when he taught through John a few years ago, the thing that he got from that verse was, yes, whoever has my commands, obey them and he will love me, but he will show himself to you. Show himself to you. A true promise. And my hope that if you do practice this extended time with God, that he will show himself to you. Now Mark's going to talk about the practical way, the process for doing this.
Well, first of all, thank you guys for coming. Definitely prayed for y'all, and hopefully the Lord will show you something today through this class at KMI that you'll be able to take home and be useful to you guys and encouraged by. So I'll talk a little bit about the how. So Tim did a good job of really unpacking why showing from Scripture and extended time with God is important. So what is the how? So what does that time look like? I know, you know, 4 or 5 hours, that could be somewhat intimidating. We're going to unpack a mnemonic, or an acrostic, as my wife said I should use that word. Paul Acts Bold. Paul Acts Bold is going to give us some things we can think about while we spend an extended time with God. So before we get into Paul Acts Bold, just want to unpack a couple other foundational truths real quick. Exodus 8:1 says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord says, let my people go so that they may worship me." And I like that reminder that we've been saved to worship. We've been saved to worship. John 4:23 and 24 says, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." So we've been saved to worship. We want to worship in the Spirit and truth. And Acts 4:31 says, "After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly." We want to remind ourselves that this time with the Lord in prayer is going to be a transformational time. It's going to be transformational in us. We can go out and speak his word with great boldness. So I'm reminded of James when Tim was talking. James says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." We can remind ourselves of that assurance during this time. Paul says, "Pray without ceasing. Align your heart with God's." We use, you know, praying, continue to pray without ceasing. And think about, you talk a lot about building our relationship with God. How is a relationship formed? Think about, how many of you guys are married? Yeah, a lot of you guys. Me too. I'll probably ask you that again later. How is that, you know, what really grew that relationship? Time together. God desires a relationship with us. He delights in that time with us. So how is a relation fostered and growed? It is built by time. Think about how you built your time, you know, built relationships with your wife, friends, family. So, all right. So now we're going to talk a little about Paul Acts Bold. So P, plan. Proverbs 15:2 says, "Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed." First thing we want to do is we want to kind of plan our time. So one of the things I like to do is look at examples from the Bible first, kind of like what Tim talked about, how David in Psalm 57, you know, cries out to the Lord. or in Psalm 23, where David is refreshed from the Lord. How about Solomon in 1 Kings? He prays in supplication for his people, for himself. Nehemiah, like Tim mentioned, confesses his sins. He confesses for his sins and for Israel's sins. You have, look at Paul in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3. He prays for the Lord's people. In Jesus, how he continually gets away and prays. So look at the examples of how people who spent extended time in prayer, but also from a pre-work standpoint, you know, Tim talked about setting the time aside, whether it's 4 hours, five, three, whatever that looks like. I would just encourage you with Ecclesiastes 8:3, which says, do not be in a hurry to leave the Lord's presence. One of the things, 4 hours, five, whatever, it can be difficult to set that time aside. And we have a lot of married people in here, and I'm married, and I have responsibilities at home, and you know, there's things that I need to take care of, and it sometimes can be tough to get time away. So it's important that I communicate that to my wife, that this is something that is important to me. Ephesians 5:25 and 26, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. My relationship with my wife is indicative of my relationship with Jesus. If my relationship with Christ is not strong, I can't love my wife the way that the time, you know, like the Bible instructs me to, like God instructs me to. So have the conversation with your wife that this is important to me so I can be built up, so I can be the husband that you need to help encourage you. And then, you know, talk through that. Set the time aside, like we talked about the time, and then pick a location. So Tim touched on a little bit about this earlier. So if you look at examples in the Bible, you have Abraham, Jacob, David, Moses. They met with God out in the wilderness, and God spoke to them and transformed them and did a work in their life. They were alone. There was no distractions. Maybe you're not an outdoor guy. Maybe you're an indoor guy like David, who met with God in caves. Maybe outdoor, indoor, whatever makes sense, but pick a place where you're free from distractions. Places that don't work, my house, plenty of distractions. Maybe, you know, you could go outside, maybe it's at your church, but find a place where there's not going to be distractions. Pray for your time ahead of time. Philippians 1, 9 and 11 talks about, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, full of the fruit of righteousness. Pray for your time. If you know that you're going to have this extended time on Saturday, be praying for that ahead of time. Ask for God to bless that time. Collect prayer requests from others. James 5:16 talks about praying for others. Ask him, hey, I'm going to have this extended time with God on Saturday. How can I pray for you? If you want to create spiritual conversations in your life, this is a great way. Ask people how you can pray for them during this time. Or they, why are you spending 4 hours with God? That sounds crazy. You'll be able to have a conversation, talk about that. Collect prayer requests from people in your life so you can pray for them. Also in this prep phase, materials. What do I bring? So Bible, pen, pencil, a prayer list. So maybe you have like a top 10 prayer list where you're praying for some people that are lost regularly. I like to write a worry list down, maybe some things that are on my heart that I have anxiety about. A worry list, food, drink, water, some verse memory cards that you might be working on. But really, that's about it. And get some rest. Get a good night's rest a night or two before. So there's the P, plan. So A, or in Paul acts bold, the next one, A, is await. Micah 7:7 says, but as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God. My Savior, my God, will hear me. And when I first get in this time where I'm spending time with the Lord, I just want to wait. I just want to be patient. I want to sit in his presence. I want to block out distractions. And I just want to invite the Spirit in, like you guys talked about earlier. Romans 8:26 and 27 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. I want to sit, block out distractions, invite the Spirit into this time. Await. Next, you. Unload burdens. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. This is my time to really get vulnerable with the Lord. Man, I cast my anxieties on Him, whether it's work, my employee that works for me, my boss, financial issues, things that might be going on in my life, health issues, my wife, something going on with her and her job, children, family. What are the anxieties? You know, what is going on? Could be your ministry. It could be whatever it is. Cast your anxieties on the Lord. He commands us to through here to cast your anxieties on the Lord. And quite frankly, He's the only one who could do anything about them. So listen, you know, to the Lord. Cast your anxieties onto Him. Also, during this time, I like to spend some time in confession. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Usually a pretty good segue for me, anxiety and sin. So confess those, you know, whether that's pride, greed, complaining, grumbling. Boy, I wish things were better at work or things were this way. Repent, you know, confess these sins to the Lord and remind yourself of the forgiveness available through the cross. Remind yourself of 1 John 1:9. Spend some time being vulnerable, casting your anxieties on the Lord, confessing your sins to Him. George Mueller, who used to run an orphanage, crazy, people coming in and out all the time, always at risk of being shut down, all this stuff, was very rarely very anxious. And they asked him, you know, George, how are you so calm in all this? And he said, I've rolled 60 cares upon the Lord this week, and I know that He heard me. Cast your anxieties on the Lord during this time. Next up, L, lift up your voice. Ephesians 5:19 says, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. I know we got some great voices in here. I've heard you guys in the evenings before. Man, after I've confessed my sins and reminded myself of the forgiveness available, I like to praise God. I like to lift up my hands, spend some time singing. If you look throughout the Bible, Moses, Deborah, David, Jesus, they often got away, they sung hymns, they spent time with the Lord. I'm not a hymnal guy. Sometimes what I like to do is bring like an iPod. Be careful with the phone, because remember, we want to avoid distractions during this time. And put on a Pandora station or put on some Christian music that I have and just put it on shuffle and let's see what God brings up. Let's see what songs He plays. Listen to 4 or 5 songs. Write down what they are. Take note of the title. Take note of a lyric that sticks out. Maybe the Lord is trying to show you something with that. But lift up your voice, sing, and make music from your heart to the Lord. So that's Paul. So then A, Acts, adoration. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So I like to spend some time meditating on His Word, reminding myself of who God is and what He's done. And I love to go straight to Psalm 139. Psalm 139 talks about God's omniscience, His omnipotence, His omnipresence. It talks about how He thinks about me all the time. It talks about how He thinks about me more than there's grains of sand. Like, that's kind of mind-blowing. Spend some time in adoration of who God is and what He's done. I like Exodus 34, 5 and 6 as a place to go, which says, then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with Him and proclaimed His name. And He passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. And just meditating on who the Lord is and what He's done. Spend some time in that. I also like to dig into some of His stories. So look about how He's been working throughout history, how He parted the Red Sea for Moses and Israel to go through. Look at Jacob. Sometimes we're going through hard times in life and we don't really understand why. Jacob was cast out into slavery, you guys know. And then God used that, put him in charge in Egypt. And God uses that. Romans 8:28, we know that He works out all things for the good, those who love Him. remind ourselves of stories of God's goodness. Elijah is one of my favorite ones to go to meditate, to spend a few minutes reading on. When I think about adoration, about how God provided him with ravens who brought him food every morning, and how he was with the prophets of Baal on top of Mount Carmel. As the Baal prophets were trying to light the fire, you may remember Elijah taunts them and says, maybe your God is sleeping, maybe he's on vacation, maybe he's taking a nap, maybe he's relieving himself, maybe he can't hear you. But that's not who our God is. Our God always hears us. He's never vacationing. He's never taking a nap. I like to spend some time reminding myself of who God is. After adoration, C is Christ's new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. Reminding myself who I am in Christ. If you look at Matthew 4, when Jesus is on the scene and being tempted by the devil, how does the Satan try to attack Jesus? He says, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God. He immediately attacks his identity. And if he's going to do that to Jesus, you know he's going to do it to us. So I like to spend the time reminding myself who I am in Christ. I like to turn to Ephesians chapters 1 and chapters 2. It talks about of who I am in Christ. If you search through, meditate through that, it uses the phrase in him about 30 times. Who I am in Christ, in him, chosen, holy, blameless, sons of God, sealed with the Holy Spirit, redeemed. Again, I'm meditating on his word, reminding myself who I am in Christ. Deuteronomy 32:9 talks about how we are the Lord's portion. Great reminder for me of who I am in Christ, the Lord's portion. Also, spend some time thinking about what is my goal? You know, what is my mission statement in life? You know, we are to know God and to make him known. And I like Acts 20:24 as a good mission statement verse in my life. Think about if you have a mission statement, if you don't, think about it during this time. Who I am in Christ. Meditate who I am in Christ. T, thanksgiving. Ephesians 5:20 says, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I like to write these down. Write down the things that I'm thankful for. First thing I'm thankful for Jesus. I think about the salvation available through the cross. I spend some time meditating on my testimony, who I was in Christ, who I am, and now. Proverbs 18:22 for you married guys out there. He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord, thanking the Lord for a wife. Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Thanking him for freedom from slavery, freedom from my past. Philippians 1, 5, and 6, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident in this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Thankful for the sanctification that's going on in my life. Ephesians 1 says, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you. Give thanks for the other believers that the Lord has brought into your life. Also, James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above. Spend time meditating on what you're thankful for. And I also like to think, gosh, is there anything in my life that's an idol right now, Lord? Will you reveal some things that I value, that I'm more thankful for, that I'm thankful for the gift of Christ? You know, are there things in my life that are more important to me? And help me to have that not be an idol in my life, whatever that takes. Thanksgiving. S, in Paul Acts, supplication, Philippians 4:6, which you guys probably know. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Spend some time praying for yourself. Lord, give me the desire to want to know you more, to spend more time in your word, to memorize your word. Lord, help me to be the husband that you call me to be. Help me to be the disciple maker that you call me to be. Lord, will you bring a man into my life that I can meet with one-on-one? Lord, will you give me wisdom in this decision that I have to make in terms of buying a house or going on this mission trip or how to steward my time or whatever that looks like? ask these to the Lord. And what I like to do is take a list, write them down of what my prayer requests are, and see how God answers them over time. Continue to pray for those. So pray for yourself. B, Bible, Psalm 1, 2, and 3. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. I want to spend some time in the Word. What I do is try to pick out a chapter or two that I'm going to read ahead of time, that are separate from some of these other things that we've talked about. Find out where I want to read, and then go through it, pray it back to God, and then make some paraphrases. Kind of like we did in the small group time earlier. Write some paraphrases through there. Think about making observations from what you're reading. Interpretations, applications. What does it say? What does it mean? How should I apply this to my life? I've been reading recently and thinking about, how can I see Christ in this? How can I savor Christ in this? And how can I serve Christ in this? Again, time in the Word, thinking about application to my life. Also a good time if you want to spend some time reviewing some verses here. Memory work. So B, book. O, other believers. Ephesians 6:18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kind of requests and prayers. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So this is where we took those prayer requests earlier in the week. We can lift those up to the Lord. Kind of like what Tim talked about earlier, this is a time to pray for other our believers. Pray specifically for my wife. Pray specifically for my family. Pray specifically for ministries that I might support financially. Pray specifically for ministries that you might be involved in. Pray for your church. Pray for the pastors of your church. Pray for your community group, other believers. Again, this is a great time to catch up on praying for other believers. And then corresponding, L, the lost. Ezekiel 36, 26, and 27 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and be careful. And I'll put my spirit in you and be careful to keep my laws and be careful to keep my decrees. So I want to pray for the lost. Maybe you have a top 10 list of people that you're praying for regularly that don't know God. Maybe you can, when you collected prayer requests, some people who shared you prayer requests weren't believers. Lift them up to the Lord. Pray that they have eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart sensitive to the gospel message. Spend some time praying for the lost. And last, D, discussion. Spend the last 15, 20 minutes. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and will be given to you. Lord, what will you have me take from this time? What do you want me to start doing? What do you want me to stop doing? What would you like me to continue doing? Will you please make known to me an application from this time that you'd like me to take? My prayer is frequently, Lord, help me to be a Mary in a world full of Marthas. Help me to spend time at Jesus' feet, to make that my priority instead of running around and being lost in the hustle and bustle of things. And remember, relationships are cultivated by time. So just like as we built relationships with our wives, our spouses, our family members, our friends, our coworkers, our relationship with Christ only grows and gets stronger by the time that's spent with that. And I'll leave you with this Martin Luther quote that I really liked, only because we needed to get a Martin Luther quote in. It says, I have so much to do today that I'm going to need to spend 3 hours in prayer in order to be able to get it all done. Paul acts bold. And in terms of how to spend an extended time with God is a good framework to remember during that time. Or at least it's been helpful to me, and hopefully it's helpful to y'all. So I will turn it back over to Tim for the handout.
Right, so you've got your notes there for you. And then on the back, this is the workshop part. But on the very back of that, You're going to see a little Bible, short little Bible study. So if you want to group together or you want to do it individually, that's fine. But just pull your Bibles out. Take about 15 minutes. If you want to group yourselves together, that's in groups of three or four, that'd be fine. Or if you want to do it individually, I'll leave that up to you. The chairs are kind of noisy in here, so it might be good just to have some time to try to draw out this. And it's my goal with these scriptures is that you're going to see very clearly within the first three or four of these how a blessing from this relationship, because this is what it's right? So if we're spending extended time with our spouse whom we love and we're in a relationship with and we want to know everything there is to know about them, the same thing should be true with Jesus. And so you're going to see from these verses that as they point to a relationship and to a blessing. You guys just dive in on your own there. And does everybody have a pen? Okay, about 5 minutes and we'll share with one another. Don't worry if you didn't get through them all. All right, guys, let's share what we've got. Hopefully that was... these are workshops after all, right? So I wanted to have something interactive and some an opportunity to get you to think and not just consume a little bit. So let's look at those and we'll take them from the top. And I want to hear what you guys have to say. So just speak loudly. The mic will pick up whatever you have to say. So let's look at the first one, Matthew 11, 28 and 30. First off, before we go, did it make sense what the object was here? I mean, the Bible study, did you understand it? What it was asking to do? It's okay? It's clear? Good. Okay, so Matthew 11, 28 and 30. Who wants to share what they came up with on that? Okay, great. Thanks, Garrett.
Because our yoke is easy, our burden is light. Because we accept His yoke, it's not hard for us because He has given us an easy burden and an easy yoke.
So the reward is
It's easy.
Yeah, there you go. It's only if it only could be so easy, but it is. Yeah, His yoke is easy, His burden is light. So the nature of the personal relationship there is that I think is the gentleness of it. He's gentle. And certainly, Garrett, you were right as well. So Romans 8, 12 to 17, who had that? Yeah, how personal is that?
Yeah, it's very personal.
From what I've been told, it's very personal. Absolutely.
It's what the children used to call their daddies.
And what does he point out in that one of the reward? What are the rewards? There's multiple ones in there. It's more than one. What do you have here for the rewards?
The realization of sonship.
Yeah.
Your
absolutely. That's a pretty good reward, I would think.
Sisters in Christ Jesus, we will be rewarded with the same glories given to Him.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 3:16. The personal nature of it. Yeah, in us. And do you want to follow it up with a reward? Did you come up with a reward?
Not alone.
Not alone. Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's do one more. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Yep. And the reward?
Is protection.
Okay. What else? What else does he say in there? Protection? There's more than one. Answer? Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty big, isn't it? Pretty big. Okay, guys, I wanted to leave a little bit of time just for any questions that you might have. Certainly, grab either one of us. I've put our email addresses. Didn't ask you about that, Mark, but got our email addresses at the top there. If for any reason you want to kind of see or flush it out, or if you're in Dallas and you want to kind of find out when we're doing it, you guys are more than welcome to drop me an email, and I'll let you know the next time that we're having one, and we'll make room for you. We've got a beautiful facility for that. God's truly blessed us with an amazing building to do it in. So, go ahead. What are you saying?
I had one thing that when you were going through your process, that our improvement time was a process.
That on asking other people, you know, in intercessory prayer portion of the Bible, that when you're giving things, I've also found that if you keep following up with people to find out the results of your prayer time, that's another time during that time to offer up things, intercessory things.
Mm.
You know, you don't want to just go to God in prayer asking for requests without glorifying Him.
Right. Yeah, giving thanks. The guy that discipled me, Bob Lampkin, who's here at the conference, Bob taught me that to in my journal, to when I was praying, when I was asking for something in prayer, to go to the back of my journal and write that down, and then to periodically go back and check that list and see where there was answered prayer. That's if you, many of y'all have probably heard of that practice, but it's an awesome way of, just like you said, of then being able to give praise and worship for answered prayer. I think that we often overlook that, and that's the sin in us, that the feeling of entitlement. I remember when my grandson was born 10 months ago, just a little bit over 10 months ago, we had been praying. I mean, how long do you pray for a grandson? I mean, you pray, you know, for your daughter to find a godly husband, you pray for them to want to have children, and for God to be able to bless them with children, and then for the son to come and for him to be healthy. And I remember praying with my daughter's father-in-law and mother-in-law, you know, when we were on our way to the hospital as things were progressing. And then Jack came, and there was jubilation, and everybody was happy. And, you know, all we could do is talk about Jack. And then a couple days later, I was thinking, and I was like, you know what? I didn't thank God. My wife's like, I'm sure you did. And I was like, no, I'm not so sure I did. You know, and it was just it's a moment that cut to me, and it was just like, you know, it's that entitlement that's built in us, you know. And so I've been conscious of that since that moment, to stop and give thanks and to praise Him for little things and for big things like Jack too. So anything else? Yes.
About 10 years ago or so, that you introduced the idea of the sick early on.
2010, yes. Yes.
When you started putting this into practice, did you go in like full bore and do a half day or 4 hours or so, or did you do a smaller amount starting out to
yeah. Right. Okay, I get it.
Would it be advisable to start with an hour or 2 hours or something more?
Yeah, you could. The way I was introduced to it was through the Navigator 2.7 series. So this is introduced in book 2. It's actually one of the completion items. It's week 11. Who's done Nav 2.7? Anybody? 2, 3, 4, right? Okay. Yeah, Keith, earlier. I wasn't going to get my check mark. I needed 4 hours. So accountability. So the way we do it is we all meet together. You know, we have some donuts and coffee and get our systems going. And then we go off into the rooms, and then we come back. So it's kind of, we have a sign-in sheet, you know, and so it's there. So I mean, yeah, you could start small, but I mean, for me, I was just like baptism by fire. I needed my 4 hours, and what I will tell you about that is almost universally, I know Mark will back me up on this, is every single time I lead a group through this, they. At the beginning of the semester, when they find out that's something that they're going to do, they're just intimidated and like, oh, there's no way I can do that. If I could be so bold as to say, sometimes they may not even see the benefit of it. And then when the most amazing thing is to see those people come out of the rooms and then to share with everybody, and then it's like, it's magical to see what God, how God redeemed that time for them. So there's definite from yes.
Take 4 hours to really get everything. I mean, kind of monkey around a couple of them after it's just time.
Yeah, and absolutely. The other thing I would just say add to that is that everybody, almost without a doubt, comes out of there saying, "Oh my gosh, my 4 hours is up. My 4 hours is up." So they go in thinking, there's no way they could do 4 hours alone in a room like a monk. and then they come out. Which, yeah, he's redeeming that moment, exactly. All right, let me get you all out of here on time, and maybe you can soak up some of that beautiful sunshine in our Wichita Falls desolate environment out there. It's a beautiful day out there today, though. Father God, I just thank you. I thank you for these men. I thank you that you can teach us something new, and that you can. I just pray that you take this practice, this spiritual discipline that we've learned today, and I pray that you take and carve some time out for each and every person in this room to be able to experience that time with you. And I just say that if there's anything that I said today or Mark said that was not of you, that you wipe it from the minds of the men in this room, and if there's anything said that is worthy of remembering, I pray that you'll mark it on their hearts and they'll be remembered, that they'll be able to remember it. And most importantly, that they'll be able to share it with others. Because after all, that's what we're called to do, to take the things that you have taught us and to share them with others. We just ask a special blessing on the rest of this weekend, that you keep everybody safe here, that everybody stays alert, able to receive the information tonight. And I pray for the cooks in there that are preparing meals and serving for us, and I pray that you bring everybody back to their home safely on Sunday. We ask these things in the name of your Son and our Savior Jesus. Amen. Thanks, Dylan. Appreciate you tracking all the way down to dorm 3.